Greetings to each in Jesus' name this morning. And I too want to start out saying thank you to each of you for your support, your gifts, your kind words, as you showed appreciation to us pastors, as Curtis also shared. I thought about it yesterday as I was studying. I wrote in a note because if I don't, I will forget when I get up here. And I made a comment, I think I made this comment to Janice, that I said, y'all showed support in many kind ways, and then it's like, boom, we're gone. We haven't been back since. But we didn't run away, and it is truly good to be back again this morning, and to be back with what is home, and to meet with each of you this morning. You are special. We love each one of you, and thank you again for your kindness. This morning, as we look into communion coming up, as we look into Wednesday evening being preparatory service, and then in 2 weeks taking communion, I'm planning on talking on communion this morning. And if I were to ask you this morning, when we say the word communion, what goes through your mind? What feelings go through? What does that do inside of you this morning? As we look at taking communion, Jake shared in Sunday school a verse that actually I took my tablet and quick typed it down, because it actually is really describes, that verse describes what, as we look at communion, where I want our minds to go, where we think of communion. That verse was, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Why take communion? Drawing near to God. I'm going to start out this morning. I want to look at communion in somewhat three different ways. And those ways would be the past, the present, and the future. And I told Curtis this when we walked up this morning. It's funny because I don't know, it just feels better if I sit on one side up here. I'm just funny that way. I don't know why. I told him I'm not a creature of habit, I don't understand. And I'm kind of the same way when I put my notes together. It's like you like to do one section and another and have it finished. You know, it's like, and I've been thinking for probably 2 weeks about this and have thought through a lot of what I'm going to talk about. And yesterday as I was studying and trying to put this together, and it just wasn't going together. And Janice took the children last night and they left, and I was still like two sentences in, I think, and it just was not working. And I took a little break from it, and again, just prayed that God would show me how, and it took me out of my comfort zone, because I'm going through the past, future, and present and future, and then I'm going to turn around and go through the past, future, and present in a little different. And so I felt that's the way God was putting it together for me. And so we are going to turn to Exodus this morning, Exodus 12. And this is when the children of Israel were getting ready to leave Egypt. And this is talking about the Passover. In Exodus 12, God gives Moses what they were to do. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 12, verse 1. It says, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to his father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each you can eat, you shall make count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You will take it from your sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, and when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, toasted, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. If you jump down then and go on down to verse 21, and Moses called the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel or on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised you, you shall keep this service. When your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. And the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house that someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, Go out for among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Everyone, every family in Egypt, including the children of Israel, were going to be affected. Affected in one way or another. Everyone was called to a choice. Each decision cost a life of some sort. This was the cost of sin. This decision was put in front of them to choose. If we go to the present, in John 1:29, says the next day he saw Jesus come toward him and said, behold, this was John speaking, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The Israelites were called to kill a lamb. It took blood shed to protect them from death. The same as John spoke about Jesus, Jesus was that lamb as well. This morning, I'm going to read a story, and I'm actually going to read it out of the Bible story. It's one of, I think it's Nicole's favorite story, and she asked for this one over and over. I'm not going to read the whole story this morning, but I'm going to read out of a Bible story, that for a children's Bible story book. And it's about the lamb, about Jesus dying for our sins. It says, so you're a king, are you? The Roman soldiers jeered. Then you'll need a crown and a robe. They gave Jesus a crown made out of thorns and put a purple robe on him and pretended to bow down to him. "Your Majesty," they said. They whipped him. They spat on him. They didn't understand that he was the Prince of Life, the King of heaven and earth, who had come to rescue them. The soldiers made him a sign, "Our King," and nailed it to a wooden cross. They walked up a hill outside the city. Jesus carried the cross on his back. Jesus had never done anything wrong, but they were going to kill him the way criminals were killed. They nailed Jesus to the cross. "Father, forgive them," Jesus gasped. "They don't understand what they are doing." You say you've come to rescue us," the people shouted, "but you can't even rescue yourself." But they were wrong. Jesus could have rescued himself. A legion of angels would flow into his side if he'd called. "If you're really the Son of God, you could just climb down off of that cross," they said. And of course, they were right. Jesus could have just climbed down. Actually, he could just said a word and made it all stop. Like when he healed that little girl and stilled the storm and fed 5,000 people. But Jesus stayed. You see, they didn't understand. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus there. It was his love. "Papa," Jesus cried frantically, searching the sky. "Papa, where are you? Don't leave me." And for the first time and the last, when he spoke, nothing happened. Just a horrible, endless silence. God didn't answer. He turned away from his boy. Tears rolled down Jesus' face, the face of one who would wipe away every tear from every eye. Even though it was midday, a dreadful darkness covered the face of the world. The sun could not shine. The earth trembled and quaked. The great mountains shook. Rocks split in two until it seemed the whole world would break. The creation itself would tear apart. The full force of the storm of God's fierce anger at sin was coming down on his own son instead of his people. It was the only way God could destroy sin and not destroy his children whose hearts were filled with sin. Then Jesus shouted in a loud voice, "It is finished." And it was. He had done it. Jesus had rescued the whole world. "Father," Jesus cried, "I give you my life." And with a great sigh, he left himself die. Strange clouds and shadows filled the sky, purple, orange, and black, like a bruise. Jesus was willing to be that lamb. He was willing to die for you and I. That blood is in the basin. Each one has a choice. It must be applied. Much like the children of Israel when they were getting ready to leave Egypt, there is another day coming when everyone will be affected. It will affect each one of us. And there will be death unless the blood is applied. The blood is available. It must be applied to each of our doorposts. What does this have to do with communion? The Passover lamb, the blood was shed in the Old Testament, and Jesus' blood was shed. It's been done. But we might say, now is the follow-up. We are to remember. Jesus said before, when he sat down at supper that night, he said, "Remember me. This do in remembrance of me." How do we remember that? So we're going to go back to the past again, and we're going to go back to Numbers. In Numbers 9, verse 1, and this is where they were celebrating the Passover, And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at an appointed time. According to its statutes and all its rules, you shall keep it. So Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover in the first month of the 14th day of the month, at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the people of Israel did. And there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day, and those men said to him, we are unclean through touching a dead body. Why are we kept from bringing the Lord's offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel? And Moses said to them, wait, that I may hear what the Lord will command unto thee concerning you. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall still keep the Passover to the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at the twilight, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. At twilight, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones. According to all the statutes of the Passover, they shall keep it. But if anyone who is clean and is not in a journey fails to keep the Passover, the person shall be cut off from his people because he did not bring the Lord's offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger sojourns among you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rules, so shall he do. Ye shall have one statute, both for the sojourner and for the native. There's a couple of things that in preparing for the Passover, there were things that they needed to do to be ready. Preparation for the Passover didn't just start the night before. Some places it said it started as many as 30 days before that to prepare for it. Some say that might be where we got our phrase spring cleaning. But they had to do a thorough cleaning of the house. There was not to be any traces of leaven anywhere. They had to prepare. Also in their own personal lives, they had to prepare. They were to not be unclean. They were to purify themselves. It calls each one again to a choice. If you look in Numbers 9, verse 6, there was, I don't know if you picked that up when I was reading it there or not, there were a couple of them that were not able to take the Passover because of being unclean. So they were unable to take it. But it was something that they looked forward to, something they wanted to do. If you notice, they went to Moses and they wondered why, because they wanted to take the Passover. If you go back in their offerings, as they offered, and if you study the process in their offerings, sacrifices, and if you go back in Leviticus 3, where it talks about their peace offerings, now this wasn't fully a peace offering, but it was a type of peace offering. As they brought these offerings, it was a time when they could be close to God. As they would, last Sunday, Janice and I, when we were away, we went to a church, and the speaker there was speaking, and it actually kind of, it struck something with me, and he talked about as they would go to the altar, and they would bring a peace offering to the altar, and they would take this animal, and they would kill the animal, and they would take the blood and they would sprinkle the blood on the altar, and it would also sprinkle on the priest that was officiating and also the person that, the offerer that was offering. But they would sprinkle this blood. They would offer the fat and a couple portions of it as the selections that were offered to God, and the fat was always considered as the rich, the best part of the animal, and that was always offered to God. But it was a time, as they would do this offering, it was a time when God would be, they would feel a closeness to God. And if you read it in Leviticus 3:1-5, it says, if this offering is a sacrifice peace offering, he offers the animal from the herd, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the offering and kill it at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and sacrifice the peace offering as a food offering to the Lord. He shall offer the fat covering the entrails and the fat with its entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, and the loins, and the long of the robe of the liver, and he shall remove it with the kidneys. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering, which is on the wood of the fire. It is a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. That pleasing aroma, when it says that, it satisfies, God is satisfied, and he draws close. It was a time when they would come with this peace offering, and they would feel a special closeness to God. And in this Passover, they were also, as they would come, there would be a special closeness that they would receive being close to God. If you look in the footnote, on the Bible, in my footnote, it says that in Leviticus 1-3, 1-5, the footnote says it's a ritual of who symbolizes communion meal that is between the offerer, the officiating priest, and God, a special closeness. There was a closeness as they did these offerings that wasn't compared to any other. The Passover was a reminder and a privilege to be able to draw close to God. Ephesians 5, verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As Christ died on the cross, he was a fragrant sacrifice. Again, speaking of the closeness to God. Now, if we move to the present, we have the opportunity, the privilege of drawing close, having a closeness in a special way by remembering what Jesus did and the fragrant sacrifice that he was. But we also are called to make preparation. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, for I received from the Lord, this is Paul writing here about taking communion, and he said, for I received from the Lord what I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and we had given thanks, he broke it, and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But we are judged by the Lord. We are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Again, in the Old Testament, as they were to prepare, they were to purify themselves and be ready for the meeting of God. Paul here, in much the same manner, is saying we are to examine ourselves. Communion is not to be done carelessly or thoughtlessly. We might need to do fall cleaning. We aren't perfect, and we won't be. But it should be our desire to be perfect. We sing the song, is our all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Are we willing to lay everything down? A few final thoughts that I want to end with today, and I would like to read Luke 22 in verse 14, and this is the account Luke, where Jesus sat down with the disciples. And it says, "And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, the cup after he had eaten, saying, 'This is the cup poured out for you. The cup that is poured out for you is the covenant of my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table. For the Son of Man goes as it is determined, but woe to whom he is betrayed.'" As we look at this passage, it says, Jesus said, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you." Why did Jesus so desperately desire to eat this Passover with his disciples? A new thought. So often, you think of communion, and it's like, yeah, Jesus, this one Passover that Jesus was here, but Jesus probably had, I mean, they did this every year, so he would have done many Passovers ahead of this. But he desperately desired this Passover. Why did he desire this Passover so much when he knew right after was going to be the hardest, probably most difficult time of his entire life? He knew salvation was about to be completed. Even these men, these 12 men sitting here with him, they wanted to love Jesus, but sin still stood in the way. Salvation was about to be complete, making the gap between him and mankind closer. Second, in verse 16, Jesus said, "I will not eat this until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As Jesus ate this supper with his disciples, it out in Revelation 19, verse 8, it says, "And I heard what seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of many peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen and bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" As we think of taking communion and drawing close to God, and we think of Jesus eagerly waiting to take of communion with his disciples, with his believers on that night, can you imagine the anticipation that he must have as he looks forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, sitting down again with those that love him? So why communion? First of all, Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me till I come again." We know the words, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Our desire is to do what God's will is, and this includes his commands. But I believe there's much more than just simply doing the will of God, just doing his commands. But next of all, it calls us to frequently examine our lives. We are a forgetful people, at least I am. I forget lots of things. We need reminding. But above that, or on top of that, there is a dimension of closeness to God that we get through the communion service that I believe we don't get anywhere else. It's a privilege to draw close to God and together with those that one day we'll feast at the great feast. And I don't know about you, but as you think for me, as I think of the great the supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, we go through many trials, many tribulations, many troubles in this world. From what I could find, as they sat down for the Passover meal, they would recline. It sounds like a relaxing meal to me to recline, and they would go through each part of the Passover and to remind them. And as I think of that, and I think of the marriage supper of the Lamb, to sit around the table reclined with our Savior. Troubles, trials, all gone. And we get to meet Him again in person. What a great reminder as we again share communion of what He has done, what He will do, and what we have to look forward to in eternity. May we, as we prepare, as we look forward to communion, and as we examine ourselves, may we ask God to come. As our Sunday school said in one of our Sunday school verses said today, create in me a clean heart, O God. May we, as we search ourselves, allow Him to create in us a clean heart, and then as we come together, enjoy again that closeness of sharing that time with each other and that time of closeness with God. Walter, do you have a song? All right, 313 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your love. As we go through Scripture from the beginning to the end, we see Your love, Your mercies, Your provision, and God, Your desire to be close to us. Father, we're thankful for that today. God, I pray that You would help each of us as we go through this life to surrender ourselves and to draw close to You. So God, as we examine, purify ourselves, and look forward to the special time of communion coming up, God, I pray that You would bless each one. Thank You, Jesus, for being that sacrificial lamb and being willing to die on the cross, that we could be forgiven and close to You. So God, I pray that You would bless each one here as they go from here today, and pray that You would bless us as we go through this week and as we go through this life. And God, we just give ourselves to You, and we thank You for Your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.